فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراؤون ويمنعون الموت. That fears how not one who denies the judgment to come, who treats the orphan with harshness, and encourages not the feeding of the indigent. Woe to those who are neglectful of the prayers, and who only pray to be seen of men, and do not even provide neighborly needs. If you love your neighbors, if you provide neighborly needs, you are doing ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are honest in your business, you are doing ibadah. If you abstain from backbiting, as the Quran says in Surah Humaza, chapter 104, verse number 1, وَيْلُلْ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to every kind of scandalmonger and backbiter. If you abstain from scandalmongering and backbiting, you are doing ibadah. Besides worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran says, you should respect and love your parents. If you love and respect your parents, you are doing ibadah. The Quran says in Surah Isra, chapter 17, verse 23-24, that I have ordained for you that you worship none but me. That you be kind to your parents. And if any one of them, or both of them, reach old age, do not say a word of contempt. Don't even say oof to them. But lower to them your wing of humility, and address them with kindness. And pray to thy Lord that bless them as they cherished me in childhood. The Quran says, when your parents reach old age, you can't even say oof to them. So if you love your parents, respect your parents, obedient your parents, you are doing ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you marry, you are doing ibadah. The Prophet said that anyone who does not marry is not of me. If you love your wife, you are doing ibadah. The glorious Quran says in Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse number 19, that treat your wife on a footing of equity and kindness, even if you dislike her. Even if you dislike your wife, the glorious Quran says, you should treat her with equity and kindness. If you abstain from adultery, you are doing ibadah. The Quran says in Surah Isra, chapter 17, verse 32, that come not close to adultery, for it's an evil opening other roads to evil. If you dress up modestly, you are doing ibadah, you are doing worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran first speaks about the hijab for the man. It says in Surah Nur, chapter 24, verse number 30, that say to the believing man that he should lower his gaze and guard his modesty. Whenever a man looks at a woman, any unashamed thought, any brazen thought comes in his mind, he should lower his gaze. That is the hijab for the man. A similar message is given by Jesus, peace be upon him, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5, verse number 27-28, Jesus, peace be upon him, said that it has been said of the old times that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in the heart. So Jesus, peace be upon us, so said that you should not look at a woman and lust after her. The next verse of Surah Nur, chapter 24, verse number 31, describes the hijab for the woman. That say to the believing woman that she should lower her gaze and guard her modesty, and display not her beauty except what appears ordinarily off, and to draw her veil over the bosom, except in front of her husband, her father, her son, and a list of mahram, the clothes that she can't marry, is given. And the criteria for hijab is basically fixed, which is mentioned in the five hadith and the Quran. The first is the extent which differs between the man and the woman. For the man, it's from the navel to the knee. For the woman, the complete body should be covered. The only part that can be seen are the face and the hands up to the wrist. If they wish, they can even cover this. The second is, the clothes that they wear should not be tight-fitting where it reveals the figure. Third, it should not be transparent so that you can see through. Fourth, it should not be so glamorous that it attracts the opposite sex. Fifth, it should not resemble that of the unbeliever. And last, it should not resemble that of the opposite sex. And the similar message is given in the Bible. If you read the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 22, verse number 5 says, the woman shall not wear clothes that which pertaineth to a man, and a man should not wear clothes that which pertaineth to a woman. Same as the criteria of hijab. Should not wear clothes that of the opposite sex. Bible says the same. But if you go to the Western countries, the men, they wear earrings. If you wear one earring, it has certain indication, you know? One earring. That's not allowed in Islam. It's even against the Bible. Why do they do it? I don't know. So if you analyze, it's also mentioned in the 1 Timothy, chapter number 2, verse number 19, that the women, they should dress up modestly, with sobriety and shamefacedness. They should not wear costly array and have braided hair of gold. Neither should they wear pearls and gold. They should be simple. And further it says in the 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11, verse number 5 to 6, it says that a woman that uncovereth her head, she dishonors the head. The woman that is not covered, her head is not covered, she dishonors her head. And verse number 6 says, the woman that does not cover her head, you should shave off her head. The Bible says that, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 5 to 6. The woman that does not cover her head, you should shave off the head. No, the Quran, the Sahih Hadith says that, but the Bible says that. If a woman, she shows her hair, it's uncovered, you should shave off the head. So, if Christian is a person who follows the teaching of Jesus, peace be upon him, then we Muslims are more Christian than the Christians themselves. If you analyze that we Muslims, it's a sunnah that we are circumcised. The same message given in the Bible. If you read the Bible, it's mentioned in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 7, verse number 22, that Moses gave you the covenant of circumcision. In Acts, chapter number 7, verse number 8, that circumcision has been given as a covenant to you. As mentioned in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2, verse number 21, that Jesus, peace be upon him, was circumcised on the 8th day. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, was circumcised on the 8th day. So if you analyze, following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are doing ibadah. You are doing worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, Islam means submitting your will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anyone who submits his will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is called as a Muslim. And the Quran says in Surah Al-Imran chapter 3 verse number 52, that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he was a Muslim. A similar message is given in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 5, verse number 30. Jesus, peace be upon him, said, not my will, but the will of my Father. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. For I seek not my will, but the will of my Father. Not my will, Almighty God's will, if you translate into Arabic, it means Islam. And a person who follows Islam is called as a Muslim. So even according to the Bible, Jesus, peace be upon him, was a Muslim. I would like to end my talk by giving the quotation of the glorious Quran from Surah Nahl, chapter 16, verse 125. It says, "Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah wal mawdhatil hasna wajadilum billati ahsan." That is, invite all the way of thy Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching, and argue with them, and reason with them in the ways that are best and most gracious. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Many important questions to Dr. Zakir Naik for the topic, similarities between Islam and Christianity. We have provided for you 2 mics in the hall of Georgia. There is one in the back, the ladies section with the ladies who wish to ask questions in the classroom. And right in front over here, we have the mic for the day. So those of you brothers who wish to ask questions, I kindly come to witness that you can begin with the question. Only one question per person will be permitted. Next question, the question that you ask is relevant to the topic of the discussion, similarity between Islam and Christianity. If you have a second question that you wish to ask, please go back to the end of the Q&A and may ask the second question. If you have the audience members coming out here to ask questions, and as we have people coming over here, may I request the Muslim brothers that they may ask Christian brothers who are keen on asking